Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has said Germany's election results could be motivating for his party and inspiring for the voters. The Prime Minister has asked the Interior Minister to explain why police did not intervene during Saturday's concert of neo-Nazi bands. And Italy has asked the Czech authorities for the extradition of a Sicilian mafia boss arrested in the Czech Republic last month. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek of the Social Democrats has said the election results in neighbouring Germany could be motivating for his party and inspiring for the voters. Prime Minister Paroubek emphasised the fact that Chancellor Gerhard Schröder's Social Democrats got only 3 seats fewer than the Christian Democrats, whom pre-election opinion polls had suggested would be the clear winners. Mr. Paroubek also said such a balanced election result in Germany was favourable for Czech national interests and could not be expected to bring any changes to Czech-German relations. A poll by the STEM agency suggests that if elections were held today in the Czech Republic, the opposition right-of-centre Civic Democrats would be the winners with 32.8% of the vote. The ruling Social Democrats would come second with 21.1%, followed by the Communists with 13.5%. The next general elections in the Czech Republic are scheduled for mid-next year. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has asked Interior Minister František Bublan to explain why police did not intervene during Saturday's concert of neo-Nazi bands in South Bohemia, although racist slogans and the Sieg Heil Nazi salute were chanted at the concert. The Lower House Defence and Security Committee will discuss the matter on Tuesday. Italy has asked the Czech authorities for the extradition of Luigi Putrone, a Sicilian mafia boss who had been convicted in absentia of a number of crimes committed in the 1980s and 90s. They included the kidnapping and murder of a 13-year-old boy, the son of a mafia informer. For at least the last 5 years, Putrone had been living under an assumed name in the North Bohemian town of Ústí nad Labem, where he was arrested by Czech police last month. Czech writer Pavel Kohout and his wife Jelena Mašínová failed with their complaint against the Czech Republic over protracted court proceedings presented to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, the daily Hospodářské noviny wrote on Monday. Mr. Kohout and his wife complained about the length of court proceedings deciding on the copyright for a Czechoslovak film on which they participated in the 1960s. The Strasbourg court ruled that the proceedings, which lasted for 7 years, were not groundlessly protracted. Until now, 61 complaints against the Czech Republic have been lodged with the Strasbourg court, and the country has won only 4 cases, including the latest one. I'm Pavla Horáková, that's the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, could the Civic Democrats do an Angela Merkel and, come the elections, lose their lead in the polls? The role played by Czechs in World War II's Battle of Britain remembered. And later in the programme, we speak to a man who's been faithfully listening to Radio Prague for over 40 years. The Czech Republic's neighbour Germany is still trying to work out what to do in the wake of indecisive elections on Sunday. Events in Germany are being closely followed here in the Czech Republic, not least because this country, also with a Social Democrat-led government, has its own elections coming up in 8 or 9 months' time. Could next year's parliamentary elections in the Czech Republic lead to a similar stalemate? Dita Asiedu reports.
A few months ago, German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder's Social Democrats trailed 20 percentage points behind the party's biggest rivals, Angela Merkel's Christian Democrats. But in the election, they were 1 percentage point behind. Parallels have been drawn with the situation in the Czech Republic. In April, when Social Democrat Jiří Paroubek was appointed Prime Minister, his party's popularity was also 20 points behind the main opposition right-of-centre Civic Democrats. The results of a latest opinion poll conducted by the STEM agency suggest the gap is down to 11 points. Jan Hartl is the head of STEM.
We were puzzled by the situation which was indicated by our July survey when we realized that the political crisis which social democracy suffered under Prime Minister Stanislav Gross is over and that Jiří Paroubek is doing remarkably well. He moved the preferences from 15 to 21.
Opinion polls suggest that if parliamentary elections were held today, the Civic Democrats could join forces with the conservative Christian Democrats to form a ruling coalition that would enjoy a majority in parliament. But it is still 9 months to the elections, and with the Social Democrats seeming to gain ground, should Germany be a warning to Civic Democrat leader Mirek Topolánek?
Well, it's a possibility. Civic Democratic Party, ODS, is constantly high in the preferences, but their trend shows no dynamics, and there are commentaries that their performance seems to be rather heavy, difficult to guess, that they have no fresh ideas and so on. Whereas social democracy is much lower now, but shows a certain tendency to increase of support.
Now, party leaders, of course, are also very, very important. They make a difference as well. And we know that Mr. Paroubek leads in the popularity ladder with around, I don't know, around 63%, if I remember correctly, while Mr. Topolánek only has a little under 50%. We can actually compare that also to neighboring Germany, where Mr. Schröder is more of the charismatic person who knows how to play with the media, which we can say by Mr. Paroubek is as well, while Angela Merkel is the more shy kind of person who's not been that well received by the general public, which we could say is the same case for Mr. Topolánek, who's not shy, but who is not as charismatic.
It's true. I think that the analogy is very strong. And to a lot of people who are not very familiar with all the intricacies of politics, they rely mainly on a strong leader.
The opposition right in Germany and the Czech Republic have been promising change, especially economic reform. Gerhard Schröder has managed to score points by warning citizens of the consequences of such change, labelling German citizens as the opposition's guinea pigs, a strategy that Mr. Paroubek has also adopted. But Mr. Topolánek says support for the right is strong enough not to be influenced by the developments in neighbouring Germany. He adds that the Civic Democrats still have plenty of time to promote and explain to citizens what their programme entails and how they can benefit from it. So how likely is it that the Czech elections take a similar turn to those in Germany? Social Democrat and member of the European Parliament, Libor Rucek, says with his party's growing popularity, the idea is not so far-fetched, as in 9 months' time, a coalition between the Civic Democrats and the Christian Democrats may no longer have enough seats to form a majority in Parliament. And the Social Democrats, too, could find it difficult to form their own minority government. This could force both leading parties to consider forming a grand left-right coalition.
Perhaps as a temporary solution, we can have even the grand coalition, which might be, by the way, the outcome of the negotiations in Germany. So again, the situation might be quite similar to that we are facing now in Germany.
Libor Rocek of the Social Democrats, ending that report by Dieter Asiedu.
The battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization.
Wartime Prime Minister Winston Churchill, in the summer of 1940, bracing the nation for the tremendous battle to come. This week marks the 65th anniversary of the turning point in the Battle of Britain, when Royal Air Force pilots gunned down 185 German planes in a single day. Ahead of the battle, the Luftwaffe outnumbered the RAF by more than 3-1, and Hitler was expecting a decisive victory that would allow him to mount a full-scale invasion of the British Isles. Among the RAF fighting men who came to be known as the Few were almost 90 Czechoslovaks, including the top-scoring pilot of the entire battle. Brian Kennedy has more.
So bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
The British were starting to get intelligence from intercepting German communications, having cracked the Enigma code system, and had a new invention, radar, that would help direct the RAF fighters to intercept attacking German aircraft. But Britain was greatly outgunned, and Churchill could not have known at the time that the heroic young RAF pilots would succeed in downing their enemies by better than 2-1. Nearly 3,000 RAF pilots fought in the Battle of Britain. A fifth of them were not British. The top-scoring pilot was, in fact, a Czech, Sergeant Josef František, who recorded 17 victories flying with the Polish 303 Squadron. Author and amateur historian Roger Darlington.
Well, he wasn't one RB, he was the top-scoring pilot of the Battle of Britain. And he was a very ill-disciplined pilot. He was inclined to actually endanger his colleagues if they were flying in formation. So the understanding was that he would be allowed, if you like, to do his own thing. So he fought a very individual battle. He was very, very highly motivated, very courageous. And he was indeed the RAF pilot who shot down the most German aircraft in the battle.
Officially, the Battle of Britain began on July 10th and ended on October 31st, 1940. Commemorations are held on the nearest Sunday to the 15th of September, the turning point of the battle. In total, 88 Czechs defended the skies over Britain during those fateful weeks. Two full Czech fighter squadrons, the 310th and 312th, took part. By the end of the battle, the 310th alone had claimed 39 German aircraft shot down.
Both the Czechoslovaks and the Poles who joined the Royal Air Force in time for the Battle of Britain had a very powerful personal reason for fighting the Germans, because both Czechoslovakia and Poland had been occupied.
Roger Darlington is the author of Night Hawk, a biography of the father-in-law whom he never met, Czech ace Karol Kutilvasher, who flew with the British Squadron No. 1 and is credited with 18 victories, including his first in the Battle of Britain. Like Sergeant Josef František, many other Czech pilots joined regular RAF squadrons, where they gained a reputation for bravery above and beyond the call of duty and earned a place among the few.
British fighter aircraft in the Battle of Britain broke the teeth of the German air fleet at odds of 7 or 8 to 1. Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few.
The unmistakable voice of Winston Churchill. Just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague. For 12 years, Czech archaeologists have been helping their Bulgarian colleagues in the excavations of an ancient Greek market town in central Bulgaria. The 12-year project has yielded valuable results, including a hoard of coins and the discovery of a surprising connection between the ancient town and the Czech lands. That's in Czech Science Now with Pavla Horáková.
The river port of Pistyros was founded in the 5th century BC by a local Thracian ruler. From the excavations, we know that wine from Greece was imported to the town in large amphoras. Other pottery was found in and around the remnants of houses, and also a hoard of treasure was unearthed from one of the ruins. Professor Jan Bozek was head of the team.
Well, it was a treasure of some 561 coins. They were buried just before the Celtic invasion, which came there 278 BC, and they were put into a local made jar just in hurry, because the Celts were apparently already attacking the city.
Over 1,000 coins were unearthed on the site, minted in various Greek cities and bearing the portraits of many rulers, including Philip II, who caused considerable damage to Pistyros around the year 345 BC. The city was destroyed by Celtic invaders some 50 years later and never fully recovered. Interestingly, some of the attackers apparently came from what is now the Czech Republic.
Well, just in the destruction, we found several Celtic weapons which were partly burned and are not quite well preserved, most of them. with the exception of one arrowhead. But we found only on the ruins in the time of the looting of the city. They lost also one of the typical fibulae of the so-called Duchtsov type, which were especially known from very great hoard in Duchtsov, and which must have been made in this country. And some of these scalps from this part apparently participated, because they were also one of the four tribes which founded the kingdom of Galatia. They were the Celts living in the northern part of this country.
The fruits of the 12-year Czech-Bulgarian joint research were first presented to the archaeological community last week in Prague at the Third International Congress on Black Sea Antiquities. As Professor Jan Bozek says, the beginnings of Czech-Bulgarian cooperation in archaeology date back to the 19th century.
Well, the history is much longer. Both my professors who did archaeology epigraphy, they were working in Bulgaria, and the foundation of the Bulgarian archaeology were 80% were the Czechs. It was the Skorpil family, Professor Dobruski, and even our side, the first person who had any knowledge about the site was Václav Dobruski, the founder of the Bulgarian National Archaeological Museum, who discovered the first inscription on the site. It was forgotten long and only discovered by my friend Mieczysław Domoracki, who was Polish-born but worked and lived in Bulgaria, and he really discovered the city just much later.
Professor Jan Bozek, ending this week's edition of Czech Science. Now, in the last part of our program today, Pavla Horáková meets David Eldridge, a man who's been listening to us for a remarkable four decades.
For international stations like Radio Prague, it's quite difficult to find out exactly who your listeners are. That's why letters from listeners are so valuable, informing us about reception quality or voicing complaints and suggesting improvements. Over the years, we have been receiving regular mail from listener David Eldridge from England, who listens to many international stations and now tunes in to Radio Prague every day. Recently, Mr. Eldridge visited Prague and we invited him to our studio for a chat. I began by asking him when exactly he started listening to Radio Prague.
I first started listening in 1964 when I remember hearing a report on BBC radio about how socks were being unravelled in Czechoslovakia, as it then was, in order to make woolen cardigans and so on. And the authorities had put material into the socks to stop them being unravelled, which seemed a very nasty thing to do. So I wrote into Radio Prague then to ask them what was all this about, and they came up with quite a feasible explanation, actually. I thought, you know, because they said the socks had been made for socks, and they thought it was a waste of effort, you know, for them to be unravelled and made into jumpers, and it seemed a fairly reasonable answer. So I've always thought to sort of check out things with Radio Prague to get the other side of the story, and that's when it began, yes.
And you've listened to Radio Prague ever since?
On and off. I remember going in for a competition, which I won, or was a winner, in way back in those days, and my name and address, strangely, was actually printed, and I got a lot of Czech pen friends at that time, and I came over to visit some of them in 1968. Which was, in August of 1968, just a couple of weeks before the Warsaw Pact troops moved into Czechoslovakia, which was an interesting time. And that was my first visit to Czechoslovakia. And in fact, there were some Czech people on the train coming out of Czechoslovakia at that time, the same carriage as I was, and we got to know each other, and they actually stayed in my flat in London for a while. And they were there over the night of the troops moving in, which is when we turned the radio on the next day and heard about events. They really didn't believe that that was happening. But, what happened to them, I don't know. They moved on, and they're one of the many people we hear of these days who have been over there in the West for all these years.
And you've been visiting Czechoslovakia and then the Czech Republic since, I suppose.
Yes.
And
yes.
You must have been noticing so many changes in the last 15 years or so.
Yes, yes. A steady change, but a marked change, yes. I think it's been steady and progressive. I noticed the amount of cars, for example, going up all the time. But then, of course, a lot of these things also happened in the West. So it's not necessarily because of political changes in Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic, but also technological changes.
And have you been noticing a similar sort of change in Radio Prague's broadcasts?
Yes, I have. Yes. I'm a little bit surprised on that because very often radio stations are directed to places where there's a propaganda value. And I think very often when countries find themselves allied, very often you find the quality of the broadcasts actually goes down, or there's less quantity of it. I can think of many countries within old Europe where there used to be fairly strong cross-broadcasting between the countries, and it's now all gone. But with Radio Prague, it's gone upwards, and the quality and the professionalism has definitely gone up with Radio Prague.
Thank you very much. Now, many of our listeners are either second or third generation Czechs, or people married to a Czech, or people who are somehow connected through their families to the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia. Now, do you have a Czech connection?
No, I have none. No. Other than I like the Czech Republic. I find it a pleasant place to be in. I find it relaxing. There is just so much here to see. I tend to like nice countryside, of which there's plenty of that in the Czech Republic. What I do like in particular is the, compared with what I have in London, you have some excellent facilities to just have a reasonably priced meal anywhere you go, which can be difficult in London. So all that sort of thing is very relaxing, and that's really what I like about the Czech Republic.
And from your letters, it's apparent that you know a lot about not only the Czech Republic, but the whole Central European region. Now, did you study the history of Central Europe, or how come that you're so knowledgeable about this part of the world?
Well, I don't know that I'm all that knowledgeable, but I think you do tend to pick it up over a period of time, and particularly if you listen to features and articles, you can sort of pick it up, and eventually it all sorts of puts together. And I have been to summer schools in Olomouc to pick up a little bit of Czech, and they do include on that some lectures on Czech history and culture, and so you can pick it up a little bit by bit in that way. But I think Radio Prague has an excellent little sort of taster on history on its website to pick up a basic of the history. And with your current competitions that you have, I'm new to them, and I'm finding them very interesting indeed to sort of whet the appetite when looking through on the internet to try and find the answers. I think they're excellent for that from that point of view.
Thank you very much. And speaking of the internet, I suppose you listen to us on shortwave, but you also look up our programs online. Which way do you prefer, or how do you combine these two ways?
I prefer the shortwave broadcast because it puts me into a routine that I want to be put into, to have set aside a certain time each day, just sit down and have a meal and listen to the shortwave past at that particular time. Reception in Britain is usually quite good, and that's the way I prefer, though I am increasingly coming round to listen to the internet at times when I haven't been able to hear the broadcasts, like at the moment being in Prague. I shall have to go home and listen to the last few days on the internet. And secondly, at times when reception is bad, which is probably about 10% of the time or a little bit less, then it is useful to be able to switch to the internet live broadcasts and listen to the programmes in clarity. So I hope that you continue on shortwave. I think that's important, not for me so much, but certainly it is important for many of your listeners, I'm sure, where the internet is not so readily available. I think it's important.
Mr. David Eldridge, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
That edition of One on One brings us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague. If you've got any comments or queries, don't hesitate to contact us. You can write us a letter, the address Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Ian Willoughby, and all the team here in Prague, thanks for listening. Goodbye. Take care.
Just like a rag in the sea.